Dudes and Fights Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Dudes and Fights Podcast. Dudes and Fights.
I'm not doing a song. I refuse. I'm too terrified. I'm living in fear all the time. I ordered 4 boxes of nitrile gloves. That is 100% true. Yesterday, we already have a box that I have barely even broken into. I'm living in fear. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the human Hal Lightreel, Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow member of the Nation of Conversation, the Intercontinental Champion, Lindsay Kelk.
Well done. I would not have been able to say that on the first go.
I was really, I'm cold reading this, folks. I'm cold reading it all the time. I like to keep it fresh for you. And we have a special guest. It's author, publisher, and host of the Says Who podcast, The Beard and the Best, Dan Sinker.
That is, in fact, me.
Yay!
That is me. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hello, friends.
Yay.
You know, there's so much to talk about.
I am just very excited to share the last week of wrestling in front of an audience with all of you.
Yeah, we've got, I mean, a full crowd. It's packed here at the Performance Center.
I just, like, genuinely hope by the time this goes out in not even 24 hours, WrestleMania has been canceled. Like, because it hasn't been canceled yet. And I really hope this is a segment that's going to date badly, because, like, hopefully within the next second it's going to be canceled.
Oh, let me date it the most possible. WrestleMania is definitely right around the corner. These are exciting.
We are on the road
Broadway's
to WrestleMania.
Dark. Like, Broadway's dark. The NBA season is postponed, right? The Dodgers, baseball season is postponed. Football in England is postponed. But guess what, motherfuckers? We're having WrestleMania.
That's right. Cough into your elbow and don't touch your face, because this is the main event.
Let's get ready to rock. Whoa! Oh, holy shit!
All right, when it affects wrestling, then you know it's real. The coronavirus, or rather, let's all call it what it is, COVID-19, strain of coronavirus.
It's because it's in trouble now. It's like your mom using your full name.
COVID-19.
Oh, no.
Get downstairs right now.
So I'm using your full and proper name.
Yeah.
To be in no doubt. You've given it to Hanks. You're in trouble now. The Hankses.
COVID-19 has already led to AEW and SmackDown scheduling live shows in empty arenas, and it's already had an effect on WrestleMania weekend, which is definitely still happening. Tons of shows have already been canceled, and it feels like a matter of time before WrestleMania itself is postponed, which will definitely not happen. It is scheduled for sure. We're recording this Friday morning, so there hasn't been an official announcement yet, but there could be an announcement as soon as this evening. Dan?
Yeah.
Help. What's happening? How do you feel?
Fix it, Dan. Fix it,
Dan. Fix it.
You fix the impeachment for me. Fix it, Dan.
Please.
I have no fix for this. It is wild to me that WrestleMania is still happening. I am the type of nerd that watched clips from the Tampa City Council yesterday where they discussed it, and essentially it seemed like they came to the conclusion of, we're hoping the WWE makes a decision. But we'll give it a week. There's no way this is happening.
So I was having this conversation with my husband at breakfast this morning, which is where he revealed himself to be a noob. I'm like, oh, you are new to this. Because he was like, but it's crazy. Of course they're going to cancel it. I don't understand. Maybe they're waiting for like an insurance reason. Maybe he has to wait for the council to cancel it before he can cancel it. And I'm like, oh my God, this is where I forget that you are adorable and a sweet baby. Because all Vincent Kennedy McMahon is sat at home going, everyone's at home. Everyone's in front of their TV. That's $9.99 in my pocket. Like, that's all he's thinking. There is no version of this where he is concerned about anyone's health and safety.
Yeah.
He is literally thinking, all these people are at home. They could all be watching my network. I must put content on my network. This is why I tweeted earlier that we will be down to a McMahon-only Elimination Chamber match if we have to. We will end up with, like, an all-grandkids battle royal if that's what it takes for the kickoff show. Like, he will not let this go.
Yeah.
Whatever it looks like, and I'm counting Raw and SmackDown in this, too. I know Backstage has been cancelled because FS1 have cancelled all their live shows.
Sure.
but he has no say over that. It's like, I feel like Raw and SmackDown, he's just like, motherfuckers, this is happening. If I have to do it myself. I fully expect to see him on our screens either tonight or on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Fully expect to see Vince coming out for this.
I do have to say, though, as someone that has disengaged with a lot of the main roster product, after watching NXT in the Performance Center this week, I was like, if they hold WrestleMania here, I will probably watch.
Oh, totally. Like,
yeah.
It will be
yeah.
the most surreal, strange experience. It feels fitting for the time to me to just hold it in a gym. And
I can't wait to see the pyro, like, coming out the weights room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If only Chris Jericho was still with the WWE, because he could pull up Ralphus with his sparklers that he used to hold next to him when he was feuding with Goldberg.
When I went to the Performance Center, when I went to Mania in Orlando, and we did an event, they did a media event at the Performance Center where we all went in and watched everyone training and saw that class of NXT going through their training and stuff, and we just, like, hung around for a couple of hours, and it was very weird. But everyone was also still using it, and The Undertaker was working out in the weights room in his just regular clothes. He was wearing a yellow t-shirt, and it was very upsetting for me. But I'm also down to see that now. Like, I'm like, can we just see, I mean, we'll get to this, but can we just see Mark, like, rocking up in his street clothes and being like, I guess I'll do a match.
Yeah.
They should all sing their own entrance music as they walk in.
Yeah. Just whistle it. Like, that should be all it is.
Or, like, Mark could be like,
just under his breath, casually.
Yeah. Oh, come on. If he's walking in doing his own music, you know he's walking in going, rolling, 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 rolling.
That's
even,
what you do.
He can ride a push bike in. I don't mind. Like, I feel like WWE sometimes does its best work when it's up against it. So I'm thrilled for SmackDown tonight. I'm not thrilled for every wrestler that's going to catch my friend COVID. Like, I just, like, that I'm concerned
COVID
about.
Kingston.
COVID Kingston.
Oh, no.
Don't wish it on Kofi.
No, I would
Don't
never. I would
Kofi.
Never. I would never do that.
But I hate myself because I should refuse to watch it drop ratings.
You gotta see.
To stop Vince from doing this. Yeah. But I gotta see what they're gonna pull off tonight.
I have not watched SmackDown since they jobbed out Kofi to Brock. And I did say to my wife Janice this morning, I was like, I kind of want to watch SmackDown tonight.
Kind of got to know.
Yeah.
They're not
they
fucking around,
me.
Too. They've got Jeff Hardy. They've got John Cena. They are pulling out all the stops in the Performance Center. I really do hope they've replaced that mirror.
I hope that wall still has a hole in it. They just add more holes. And then eventually they're like, oh, we should just expand this room. It felt kind of small anyway. We had our last normal week of wrestling for God knows how long.
God knows how long.
Through Wednesday. By the way, I just want to, before we jump into this, Orange Cassidy now has the smartest working style of any wrestler. Keep your hands in your pockets. Do it all with your hands in your pockets. Be like Orange. Jeez.
I had to do an event about a week and a half ago, and that, in my head, I was just like, I'm Orange Cassidy-ing my way through this. People keep offering a hand to shake, and I just had my hands in my pockets, and I would just shrug and say, it's good to meet you.
And in every pocket, he has a tiny bottle of Purell. Like, that's what we know now. That's canon now.
Yeah, they're just filled with Purell. They're plastic pockets filled with Purell.
It's like, oh, is he peeing his pants? Oh, no, he just squeezed the Purell bottle a little too
Purell
hard.
Pouch.
He's just very safe. All right, let's talk about Sunday's, boy, it feels like it was 9 years ago.
It's
God, doesn't it?
Right. Elimination Chamber happened.
Oh, it did. I really hope those chambers were wiped out.
Oh, they all
the
touched them? They're
in.
Smeared?
Yeah.
Let's start with the women's Elimination Chamber match.
Let's.
I remember
maybe they should have.
Years ago, I might have been on Something to Wrestle. I'm talking about Paul Heyman pitching an Elimination Chamber where either Brock or Mark Henry made everybody tap right away.
Yeah.
Like, just tapped everybody out, completely dominated the match.
Yeah.
And that's what we got in the women's match.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it. I was like, I wonder if – I know that Paul has a little bit more creative control in Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they'll pull the trigger on it. Because if there's anybody in the world that it would fit and I would like to see do that, it's Shayna Baszler. And they did. And it was I found it really satisfying. What do both of you think? Lindsay?
I really loved it. I don't know if I loved it as the final match because there was such a sense of inevitability about it, about her winning. But I did love the complete domination. I mean, we've talked about this time and time again, how she is their first female Brock, and I hate comparing the women to the men, but it's all we have.
Right.
Because this is our first class of well, in a long time, women. I loved the domination of it. I loved that she was on her own in the ring a couple of times. I loved the way she held it. She's still so new to the main roster, and it looked like she had been there her whole life. I really enjoyed it.
Shayna Baszler gnaws her way towards the man at WrestleMania.
Guys, this is scary.
King, you would have to agree, this has to be the most dominant Elimination Chamber performance we have ever seen.
Oh, without a doubt.
Even if they want me to, they can't stop me.
I heavily agree. I thought that those moments where she was just standing on her own, and it felt like I didn't take a stopwatch to it, but it sure felt like those 5 minute increments were real long.
It really
Those moments where it was just her purely alone and gloating, but especially that moment where it was just her alone and Asuka in the pod screaming at each, like with Asuka just screaming. That was really, really great. I think my only disappointment was the ending just felt foregone from jump. Yeah. Right. As soon as it was like, oh, we're doing this, it was like, wait, like Shayna Baszler already like vampire bit Becky. Wasn't that enough?
We're
to
not
make
talking
a match,
about that.
You know?
We're not talking about that. That didn't happen. She didn't plan to do that, Dan.
But I wanted the Asuka part to last longer.
Yes, agreed.
That was like, so that there was a moment where I was like, oh shit, maybe they're going Asuka. Right. But that was my only disappointment in it. Otherwise, I loved that I was seeing something new. You know, I loved that I was seeing an Elimination Chamber that felt very different, especially with, you know, the kind of spot fest of the one earlier. It was like, how are they going to do this so that it feels different?
I do feel like they could have extended the Asuka segment to make it look like she was like, oh, an actual opponent. You know, maybe she could have been like, okay. But
Asuka might be hurt right now, too. Like, they've said that, like, I think she
Protect
was injured
Asuka.
A couple of weeks ago. So, she might still be a little
bit hurt.
She
does have to stop spitting on people, though, I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah.
Green mist or no. Maybe the green mist was coronavirus the whole time.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, no.
That's canon now. That's canon now.
Dan, you mentioned some moments that stood out to you from the Tag Team Elimination Chamber match in which The Miz and Morrison retained their titles. What were a few moments that stood out to you?
Definitely not them retaining the title, because when I was thinking earlier today about it, I was like, wait, who won that match? So that was that part not so much.
Sure.
But the drop from the top of the cage was amazing.
Was that Lince?
It was Lince Dorado, who I really enjoy because it makes, whenever they say Lince, I'm like, it's like my name, because I am a 4-year-old girl.
Sure.
And look at now, everybody in the middle of the ring, and from the top of the chamber, Lince Dorado!
I was trying to figure out which one of them was going to climb onto the ceiling and drop off of it. Like, it was just a matter of, okay, we know why they're in here. One of them's going off the top of the pod,
time
and the other one's climbing up.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Time to earn your money.
I also liked a little bit of business, as they would say, with Heavy Machinery and Ziggler and Rude, like kind of furthering, keeping the flames kind of stoked on that without giving us what we want.
I still love them, and I can't tell you why. Like, there's nothing specifically about Heavy Machinery that I can pinpoint as to why I love them.
They're charismatic.
So much.
They have charisma.
I just want to give them a big cuddle, but like, from a distance and wearing clothes.
Yes.
Not in the trunks.
You kind of believe who they are and that they genuinely have affection for one another and that they are kind of a yin and yang personality-wise.
They seem like good peoples.
They also feel like a throwback in a really nice way.
Yes.
You know, like there's a nice amount of nostalgia wrapped up into them that, it, you know, they feel very
80s. Yeah, there's a natural disaster feeling.
And that part
on.
I like a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Somersault off the top of the pod.
I also want to talk about Street Profits retaining their titles. I thought it was a good match.
Yeah.
I like this Rollins character. Like you, Dan, I have not been as heavily invested in the main roster in terms of watching. I follow and track.
Yeah.
But I kind of put my energy into AEW and NXT. So it was nice to see. I like the Messiah character. I love him and Buddy Murphy hugging
like
every time they tag in. Like, that's such a great little piece there of their kind of cult family.
And I like Buddy's disciple tights.
Yes.
I like that we are insisting on calling him Buddy Murphy and not Murphy.
I would call him Buddy over Murphy. I'm sorry. It's silly.
We use first names around here, COVID-19. You go up to your room and think about that. Sami Zayn wins his first gold on the main roster. He is now the Intercontinental champion.
Intercontinental. He could be the Intercontinental. Yeah, no, I love him. I hope El Generico is okay down in Mexico with all those orphans. Yeah, I the match did little for me as a concept because I hate it. I hate the 3-on-1. I hate the Strowman of it. I look at Strowman and I'm like, guy, remember when you were like a big deal?
Now
you're you? What the fuck happened? And it's not that deer hunting picture that upset me, so I don't know what it is.
all of the people in that match.
I know.
Like, it was like, wow, remember when Shinsuke came into WrestleMania to a line of violin play? Like, it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been the Intercontinental Championship match. It should have been the what the fuck happened to you guys match.
Yeah.
Yay for Sammy. However it had to happen. I hope he has it for a really long time. My feeling is that he won't. But I would hope that he could keep this for a Also, wouldn't you love a feud between the three of them? Between Cesaro, Nakamura, Zayn?
Sure.
Bounce his title around for a while? Because what happens if he comes out for a celebration and they're like, well, you only won because of us. And then he's like, yeah, but no. And then they end up feuding the three of them for a couple of months. I would love that.
You know who should be feuding with him over that title?
Who?
Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens is going to feud with Seth Rollins.
I know, but I'm done with that.
He's going to feud with Seth Rollins. We're going to get our Mania match, then he's going to go home to his many cats.
And not be able to go to zoos.
I know.
Oh.
He's a zoo enthusiast.
Please hold the Owens family in the light right now.
He's fine.
Please.
He's got so many cats now. It's like he has a zoo at home. He's like battling
Zelina. We bought a zoo.
All the cats.
Yeah.
He's battling Zelina and Alistair for cat dominance. I feel like everyone's overtaken Natty.
She wears the ears and
they have like six cats each now. It's like, who's going to get the seventh cat?
If they are going to have to get creative in the next month or two, let's make that a feud. Like, bring the cats.
Yeah.
Let's just do it.
Do it.
Arena cat match. Winner gets all the cats.
Oh!
Just put them all in a giant cage. There's a catnip-fueled cage,
yes.
And then the winner gets the cage of cats at the end. I was going to say cat on a pole, but like cat on a giant cat tree. Cat on a cat tree match.
Cat on a cat tree.
Cat on a cat tree. I mean, I'm here for that.
Whoever gets to the top of the cat tree wins.
Yeah.
Then there's just like a catnip mouse hanging off the top that you have to bat it until it comes off. I would watch that.
Remember when that one cat was hanging off of it?
They could put the catnip mouse inside a tiny little briefcase.
Yeah.
That's mesh, so it's still smellable.
Yeah, remember when the one cat was hanging off the briefcase and the other cat speared that cat to the mat? And then you're like, oh, that cat's going to be a main event star.
Spears the other cat all the time.
Yeah, sure.
So, Did anyone watch Raw this week? Did anyone see lead babyface leading the charge against Brock Lesnar smash Eric Rowan's random cage in?
Look.
Well, we're talking about cats because I'm convinced there was a cat in that cage because no other animal would hold such power over a grown man.
A bird?
No, because it's a fucking bird. But only a cat would be able to control that man in such a way that he was like, I will keep you covered. I will keep you safe. I have to take you everywhere. I will do as you say. It's nearly time for wet food. But and then suddenly Drew McIntyre just smashes it in?
Well.
And he's supposed to be a face?
Would it make you feel better if you knew that it was the Salem puppet from Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Yes.
Okay, that's
the
what
original.
It was.
Yeah.
The original.
Absolutely. Fuck that cat.
Yeah. That cat, that cat can go right to hell. I want to talk about the best match on the pay-per-view, event, whatever. Who cares? We're all going to die.
We already know what this is, because it's you.
Yeah, the best match. I would call this a Superman 3 match, because it looked like when Superman fought Clark Kent in that junkyard. Because Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak look so much alike. Like, couldn't one of them have shaved the beard off?
No.
One
Thank
of them?
You.
Please?
No.
Uh-oh, you couldn't tell which one of them was which? Because Daniel Bryan was the one with his nuts hanging out for half of that match.
I mean,
what?
Something for the ladies.
Yeah, he gave him the hanging brainbuster.
I was so worried about his neck, I did not notice that.
Oh, on that release suplex?
I mean, throughout.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, that suplex was nasty.
Yeah, I was like, oh, is the is his career over?
Dan's
did that do it?
Looking at photos of Daniel Bryan's nuts right now.
Wait, are there pictures?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if you Google WWE Elimination Chamber, for me, that was the first story that came up on Google News.
Hold on.
It was like, Daniel Bryan suffers wardrobe malfunction throughout Elimination Chamber match. I'm like, that's
Daniel
a really
Bryan ball.
Polite way of saying his nuts were hanging out.
But it was a great match.
Yeah, it was a great match.
They both had a ball. Completely nuts.
Pun dog. Yeah, I enjoyed the match. I just was so worried for Daniel Bryan's neck throughout.
Yeah.
I just feel like all of those matches now, I struggle to enjoy them because I'm just so worried. Whenever he goes toe-to-toe against someone who's really good, I'm like, oh, they're going to kill him.
The story of the match was even great. The idea of I've been studying you all this time and then counters everything.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan's everything down to Daniel Bryan's reaction
balls.
At the end.
Oh, okay. Everything down to Daniel Bryan's balls.
Yeah. I mean, it's if they'd done a really poor job, I heard they were both going to get sacked. But they they did such a great job against one another. And the story they told was perfect beginning, middle, and end. It's like one of those things you point to and go, this is why I love wrestling.
Yeah.
Right here.
It showed a lot of respect between the two athletes, I felt.
Yeah.
Which I always think leads to a good story and good work.
I think if this is like a measure of how he could fare on the main roster, I think Drew Gulak really passed the testes. All right. Let's move on to Raw.
Oh.
Welcome to the Puncast.
Raw is where the big boys go to play, apparently. Edge finally returned to attack Randy Orton and
so
poor
handsome.
MVP.
He's so
who
handsome.
MVP reminds me of there's a guy on Philadelphia sports radio named Sonny Hill who seems to know everybody who ever played professional basketball and was anywhere near anywhere near the Philly area doing it. Because he sounds like Scatman Crothers, and he gets on the air every Sunday, and just somebody calls it as like, blah, 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 Bob Cousy. And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. I remember him because back in 1969, whatever, that's who MVP looks like. Like, he's got a story about everybody that he's ever spent time with, and he's late for brunch from church. He left from church on the way to brunch. He stopped at Raw.
Every time I turn it on and MVP is on right now, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they brought MVP back. I don't know why. But
and I'm
sure.
here for it. I'm here for it.
Yeah. I like people making money. I like people making a living. I'm not mad about this.
But Edge still looked great.
Edge looks awesome. I'm sorry. He's a very handsome man. And he's only getting more handsome as he gets older.
Yeah. He's turning into a silver fox.
Yeah.
Dan, how do you feel about Edge getting in the ring? I know we're all nervous about Daniel Bryan. Are you even more scared for Edge?
Yes. I to me, it's just one of those things where I've been watching the Ruthless Aggression documentary series
right.
as it comes out on the network.
Yeah.
And just watched the latest one last night. And Edge features in it a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I think about the fact that I'm watching a documentary series about things that happened a decade ago. And yet somehow Edge versus Randy Orton is the top level thing that has me at all interested in WrestleMania. And I just, someone has made a lot of mistakes and it might be me.
I give yourself a break. I would say you've made some mistakes, but the majority of mistakes have been made by WWE. I don't think it's all your fault.
Yeah.
I don't think it's all your fault.
You're okay. But hey, people out there, don't touch your face. But if you've got any thoughts on what we've discussed so far, wash your hands and then connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Discord. Are you manning that Discord, Julian?
Of course.
Great. You can find the links to those in our show notes. We'll be back to talk NXT and AEW. That's up next on Tights and Fights. Stop buying and wearing masks.
This is your captain with an update from the flight deck. We'll be reaching Max Fun Drive on March 16th. That's right on time. As a reminder, Max Fun Drive runs for just 2 weeks, and it's the best time of year to support the podcasts you love. If you look towards the front, you'll see your favorite hosts with special bonus content and lovely thank you gifts for new and upgrading monthly members. Now, sit back, relax, and catch up on your favorite Max Fun shows now so you can listen to the new episodes releasing March 16th. And thanks again for choosing Maximum Fun.
Tyson Bites Podcast. Tyson Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by
Lindsay Kelt
and
Dan Sinker.
Let's talk about Wednesday night's wrestling shows. The good ones. You remember them. We'll start with AEW. The Inner Circle versus the Elite is set for pay-per-view. What's the next one called? Blood and Tears?
That's
right. Blood and
Guts.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Technically not a pay-per-view, just a normal Wednesday night.
Oh, it's just one of those stupid things where it's like Bash at the Beach or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. There you go. The next Wednesday event.
It's in 2 weeks?
I'm not calling it that. Yeah. Fuck that.
It's because it's basically their war game, so they're making shenanigans about it.
So yeah, free per view.
free per view. this is our special event, regularly scheduled television.
I mean, you're laughing now, but 2 weeks from now, that could be the case.
By the way, I'm sorry. I do enjoy AEW. Whenever I see the women appear on TV, I just think about you like a cartoon character, Lindsay. Or your face getting red and the steam shooting out the sides?
The Lindsay McGuire version of Lindsay?
Yeah. Lindsay McGuire.
Lindsay McGuire.
The most ridiculous moment was when Nick's under the door with the blood capsule, blood pouring out of his mouth.
That was fun.
And then they can't figure out how to raise it.
Don't forget what I said when I told the world that the champion and the Inner Circle is putting the entire All Elite Wrestling roster on notice. And in 2 weeks, at Blood and Guts, we're going to beat the hell out of you pumpkinhead dipshits.
Wow. Wow.
And by the way, you might be wondering where your brother Nick is at. Where's Nick Jackson? Well, we just ran into him in the hallway, and I think he's got a little bit of a headache.
Hmm.
Oh, what the hell?
God. Oh, my God.
By the looks of things, maybe an entire body ache. You better call a doctor, or more importantly, come back here and pick up your trash.
I feel like they could have just shown that and then shown the guys running to find him, and then that's enough.
Yeah.
But when there seems to be this need.
For a while.
Yeah, this sort of like, we have to watch wrestlers figure out how to get a gate up with the help of arena staff. It's always like, can we get help? We got to get this up. No, don't move him. You, is there a switch? Wait, maybe there's a pulley system. What if I get on the other side and we each just see which way he slides better? Yeah. Should we mop up this blood? I feel like it's not safe here.
What if we five really strong men just try and raise it 1 inch?
Well, they were trying. They were like, oh,
Hal,
you can't raise it.
You're on to something, though. That's the next month of programming. It's just a single wrestler inside an escape room for an hour.
I would watch it. I would watch it.
Oh, definitely.
You'd have like a Crystal Maze show of only wrestlers, but it's one at a time. And you have to figure out puzzles. And if you figure out the puzzle, you get a belt.
Yeah.
Like, you can be U.S. champion.
This week's AEW ends with Matt Hardy casting a spell and capturing everyone inside like a puzzle box. And then they all have to get their way out over the next, you know, month and a half.
Yeah. He's clearly the exalted one. It can be nobody else.
I mean, it's so obvious, right?
Yeah.
But it's so obvious that is it too obvious?
Do you get the sense watching this, both of you, we can start with you, Dan, that whoever the exalted one is, it's going to be a massive disappointment. It doesn't matter who it is.
Unless it's like Marty, right? Like, but there's no way that's happening.
I just feel like unless it's me at this point, I'm like, unless I open the door on Wednesday, if there's a knock at my door and I open it, which I wouldn't, so don't do me, because I pretend I'm not home all the time. Stop canvassing around my area, Bernie supporters. I'm not letting you in. Unless I open the door and the whole crew, like the entire Dark Order and a film crew are there to say, hello, Exalted One, I'd be like, oh, fancy that. I don't know.
Anyone watching at the very end of the show, they're going to get a FaceTime ring, and then suddenly that person is the exalted one.
Yeah. It's like Publishers Clearing House. It has to just be like a person at home at this point. Otherwise, it's like too obvious.
The ghost of Ed McMahon shows up with a bunch of hooded figures, and then you are named the exalted one.
Or like, unless it's Vince. You know? I'm like, who could it be?
God, that would actually be
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. It's going to be Eric Bischoff.
Oh, no.
No, we spoke spoke it into being.
It was me all along. Oh, no.
I do have a question for you both, actually. I was thinking about this on the way over.
Yes.
We've talked so much, and wrestling fandom talks so much about nostalgia pops in WWE and how they rely so heavily on it. And we've been relatively... We haven't been super pro that. I personally am like, no, you should be moving forward. Mm-hmm. I feel like AEW is going more and more and more down the route of nostalgia pops, right? Like they are like Jake the Snake. Yeah. They have Tully. On. They have like, you know, they're relying a lot on goodwill that they're borrowing and trading on goodwill that their audience has for wrestlers who they used to love.
They're not wrestling, so it doesn't bother me as much to have them. They're there to give the rub to people who are actually doing the work.
Yeah.
That's how I feel, Dan.
That's the big difference for me is, you know, they're using them like you should use a legend. It is to get someone else over. You know, whether they're succeeding in getting them over or not is another question, But, you know, if suddenly Arn and Jake the Snake are in a match together, no, please God, no. Right?
Yeah.
The thing that I worry about even more than the kind of reliance on bringing some older folks back is, and I think actually, I go on very long walks with my 14-year-old sometimes and only talk about wrestling. And this was a topic of conversation when we were walking the dog the other day, is the reliance on... all of their old friends.
Yeah.
That at this point now, any storyline that is moving forward are with people that are real OG being the elite people.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that has to do with they're new, they're moving fast, and they're relying on, okay, who can we trust, right? Like it's the same thing that a startup does, right? And a startup is like, we got to move quick. Okay, who are the people that we've already worked with? Who are the people that we can already rely on? And that's also how startups end up, you know, overwhelmingly white and male, right? And if you look at old being the elites, which my 14-year-old and my wife have started at one and are moving forward.
Oh, lovely.
Like there's almost no women in there,
no.
Right? And so they don't have women to turn to in terms of their... this kind of over-reliance on who do we already know we can make sure is going to do a good story and get out there. And I think it's hurting the product.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. I mean, the women remains the biggest problem for me. That's my biggest problem. The match this week was like, okay, you have this women's tag team match. You're building another story. But it's like, oh, someone who hasn't been on the show since November is suddenly going to run off with the belt. Does she even, in the words of NXT, does she even go here? Does Bea Priestley go? Is she going to show up? She lives in Japan. Is she going to be here? Stop putting people who live in Japan at the heart of your storylines, even then,
let alone on airplanes in March of 2020.
They cannot be on airplanes, people. Yep, even the Big Swole Britt Baker moment, which I was like, oh, look, a secondary women's story. All my prayers have been answered. And then they made it about their boyfriends and husbands. And like, oh.
Yeah.
And, oh, that's a shame.
And apparently cold coffee.
Yes.
Here, I brought you a coffee. I mean, come on, either sell the coffee or just say it's water.
Yeah, that annoyed me. I'm like, oh, this could have just been Big Swole saying, like, I'm sick of you sitting there every week saying how you're better than everyone. Let's see you in the ring.
Yeah.
That's all that needed to be. But instead, they had to make it about their husbands and partners.
The only person in your household wrestling cares about is your boyfriend. I'm married, baby.
Does anyone at home even know that Big Swole's husband is Cedric Alexander? Does the average person know? I know it's more common knowledge that Britt Baker and Adam Cole are together because she's been pictured at NXT and whatever. But like, that A, it was unnecessary, and B, it just seemed like bad storytelling too because it had to be explained by the internet.
Yeah.
That really pissed me off. Like, let them have their match on their terms.
Let's go to NXT. I know more stuff happened at AEW, but come on.
More stuff always happens at AEW.
We'll cover it at Blood and Guts and Glory and
Blood
Happiness
and
Sunshine and Rainbows.
Cages and unicorns and...
Blood and Guts in an empty room.
And an empty room, yeah. Or as we call it, Wednesday night programming. Come on. It's just your regular show.
Look, Cody, if you want to invite us there to just sit in the rafters and we'll podcast live for you, we will do that.
We will. Oh, you go.
If no one else is there, me and Julian will go.
In an empty arena, you wouldn't do that? Are you
no.
If they could charter Julian and I a private jet
A private jet.
We're going on a PJ.
Sorry, Hal, you already said no. Anyway, Lindsay, we're going to hit the PJ.
Dan's going to drive over and meet us.
You do it sitting in a hot tub full of Purell.
Oh, now I'm interested. Yes. Yeah. Boil my skin away until only
I also
only
have some thoughts on your women's division storylining. NXT.
So I want to give a little shout out to Cameron Grimes.
Do.
Who worked a very nice match against Keith Lee.
Looks grubby.
He looks grubby.
I want to hose him down with disinfectant.
He definitely seems like he's ill. He'll definitely be the one who brings COVID Kingston to the rest of the roster.
It's in the hat. I feel like the hat has it.
The hat.
I don't know. I have a problem with a character whose entire character beat seems to be he wears a hat.
It's not for me. I won't lie. I loved him at PWG. I remember seeing him before he was Cameron Grimes and thinking, I like this guy. He's cool. And now I'm like, oh, it's just the hat, though. What if I take away the hat?
And the vest?
The vest and the hat are one.
Yeah,
like, I don't know.
Crocodile Dundee, vest and hat, and that's it. That's all you need up top.
Yeah,
it's actually a unitard. They're connected.
Oh, that's right. They're connected to one another by a long strap in the back. It's like a snap bracelet. He can hold it back, and then it can just lean forward, and it'll snap back on his head. But he had a good show against Keith Lee, and then we had a moment. One of my favorite videos in the world. I can't find it anymore, which makes me very sad, is one of the Cats or Jerks compilations. In one of them, two cats walk into a bathroom, and above them is a third cat. Third cat swats the cat in front, who then turns around and slaps the cat behind them.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, which is what happened when Damian Priest attacked Keith Lee after the match with a stick. I think
yes.
His nightstick that we've always seen him carrying.
Stick.
Yeah, we know he's one of those guys who always carries a nightstick with him.
Wipe it down.
And then
he's the nightsticker of infamy, so it makes sense.
I've discussed my issue with the Archer of Infamy. Unless he's going to carry a crossbow or a bow and arrow, enough with the Archer nonsense.
Or like a crossbow that fires the boxing glove arrows that Green Arrow has.
There you go.
You can beat everybody up. But then Dominik Dijakovic comes to help. Keith Lee thinks that Dominik Dijakovic attacked him. He attacks Dominik Dijakovic. They'll have a triple threat match at some point. Yada, yada, yada.
It'll be great.
They're all very fun workers. They work well together.
Someone's going to die out of that trio.
Somebody will die.
They're so massive.
Who's it going to be?
They're all so athletic. Yeah. They do so much. They are the definition of doing the most. Like, all three of them.
Yeah.
I'm so worried that one of them is going to die. Or Vince will just get in charge of it and the ring will break again. It's like, oh no, the ring broke!
But they'll have dug a hole underneath the PC, so they'll just keep falling through the earth.
This will be the third time that the ring broke for the first time.
It'll be like Vision in Civil War. It'll be like, where did he even go? He went so deep. We don't even know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how they're going to self-isolate all these people. They just keep falling into holes in the ring until there's nobody left.
Yeah. That's
underneath the ring is just like 16 little pods.
It's that Snickers hole from the commercial.
It's just the Elimination Chamber pods.
Yeah, they're in Elimination Chamber pods. As they go through, you go do. They're going to have WrestleMania weekend, which is definitely still happening.
100%. I keep checking Twitter. And
NXT TakeOver Tampa is going to have a ladder match for the number one contendership for the women's title. Here are some of the people so far. We've got Chelsea Green is in the match. Then Mia Yim beat Dakota Kai, and Tegan Nox beat Deonna Purrazzo. There are still three spaces left. I just want to speculate here. On this match that is definitely going to happen, who those three women will be. I'll throw one out first. I think Candace is going to be.
I really want it to be Candace. We have a match next week, a qualification match, right, between Candace and Mercedes.
Uh-huh.
And that's really hard because I want both of them to be in it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, can we take Tegan out so Tegan and Dakota can finally put this bullshit to bed? Because I feel like there is still a match there after the shenanigans at their cage match. So I can have Candace and Mercedes in it because I want that. I'm a child now.
I understand.
Please, Papa.
We'll see.
Okay.
If you and COVID-19 finish your vegetables.
Keep it off my fucking vegetables. I need my vegetables for my immune system.
COVID-19, stop touching your sister's vegetables. Dan.
Lindsay, your vegetables are only going to last for a week.
I know. I mean, I won't lie. They weren't in my shop this week.
I mean, frozen vegetables. Those
yeah,
are
no,
lost.
I've got,
and
I've
canned
got some,
vegetables.
I've got some corn.
Do you say in England, you would say tinned, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tinned. Does that make you feel more comfortable if we
tin
call them
tuna.
Tinned?
Yeah. Sure, why not?
Tinned tuna.
And you don't need to call it tuna fish. I know what it is. What is it, like tuna cat? Tuna dog? Like it's.
Well,
I already
sometimes.
Know what it is. It doesn't need to be a tuna
know.
Fish.
All right, Seinfeld. All right. What's the deal? Why do they say fish?
One month into no wrestling, tights and fights is all observational humor.
Yeah. Do you want to get some cereal? We'll talk about Superman for a while. What's
fucking
going on here?
I love cereal. I've got so much cereal. That is what I bought. I'm like, I'm not panic buying because it's bullshit and it's not fair to like people that have to buy their groceries week to week, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I have got a lot of fucking cereal.
Kushida beat Raul Mendoza, who was later kidnapped by Lucha Mask people in the parking lot. And then to the one, to who was in the parking lot? Was it Mia who was out there?
Yeah, it was Mia.
And then one of them did the shush finger to her, like, don't tell. Like, who's she going to tell? What happened?
Don't you go back in there and tell Keith Lee.
And also, can we just say from a production standpoint, I work as a producer professionally. Start that just a little further back. Because every time a car speeds off, the last thing you see is 3 seconds of the car braking. And I'm just waiting for the moment where somebody sticks their head out and go, did we get it? We're back in the NXT arena.
They're just making sure that the cross traffic was clear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, safety first.
And that they don't run into those parked cars that are at the end of the... Well, I'm going to take off into this cul-de-sac. See you later. Yeah. I'm making my escape. For goodness sakes. The Broserweights retained against the Undisputed Era.
Oh, I love them so much. I love them so much.
Yeah, great team.
Sneaky ending. They did to get rid of them. Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
I love them.
The little
two.
Fake kick was great.
Yeah.
They're just
really
so
good.
Great.
Let's wrap up what happened on NXT. Dan, I have a question for you. If you are in charge of either NXT or the Performance Center, and they're like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set up Johnny in the conference room. Then we're going to have Tommaso come in. They're going to brawl. But stuff is going to break. They're going to go into the weight room. Stuff's going to break there. They're going to go into the treatment area. Stuff's going to break there. What kind of budget do you think they had to, like, put a hole in the drywall? They broke a mirror. That's got to be clean. They got to clean that whole area and put a new mirror in. I mean, what kind of budget do you think they have for something like that?
They had to replace the glass in the door with safety glass, with fake glass.
Yeah.
So that was money.
Yeah.
That was a couple of quid.
I think it was unintentional, but I do appreciate the sort of, because Johnny was in the conference room, it had this sort of like working from home fantasy feel
totally.
To it.
Totally. It felt very much like he's Skyping in.
You're in a remote meeting and you're like, I just want to walk through that Zoom window and beat the shit out of you. It's like, now I can.
Before I tell you what I'm going to do to you, is everybody on? Can everybody hear you? Cheryl, will you mute your side? Because you're making a huge echo.
Everyone loves Tommaso Ciampa now, right? Everyone chants, Daddy's home. Did I miss an apology? Why is this man redeemed? I feel like I'm losing my...
You want to play? You want
to play? Oh, wait a second!
That whole episode of NXT felt like the, like, you know, the harbinger of things to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, you know what? I'm kind of here for it. Like, I'm kind of excited for a month of weird, low budget,
very,
like, experimental wrestling.
Do you know what I'm curious to see?
And I hope they do.
I'm, like, very curious to see how the main roster wrestlers pull it off. Now, the ones that came through NXT, I think, will be better at it.
Yeah.
It's like a theater performer versus a movie star. Like, they're used to playing to a crowd, to a room. They're used to seeing close-up reactions. And I think that creates a stronger performer rather than just, like, a superstar.
Yes.
So I'm curious as to how bigger people used to working on a bigger stage will be able to pull their performance in, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah. Like, looping back to AEW, I'm equally as interested in all these folks who only really recently got on a big stage, right? Like,
yeah.
I was thinking, again, on a dog walk with my 14-year-old last night, talking about the fact that AEW has now, with Matt Hardy and the Jackson brothers, like, the two people that figured out how to do wrestling weird on YouTube, right? All on the same team. And it feels like an opportunity to me. You know, there are no sports to watch, so...
Yeah.
why not just get weird?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. What do you think about it, people who are listening? If you have any thoughts, let us know. We're on Facebook, we're Twitter, we're on Instagram. We got Discord going. Find the links to all those at our show notes. What are you laughing at, Kelk?
I'm laughing at Discord forever. Sorry. Yeah. I don't know why. I'm sure it's a great platform.
Which I use sometimes when I play Mario Kart. Anyway, we'll be back after this with some things from the wrestling world that you should know about. This is Tights and Fights.
Hey, Jake Heath.
Hey, Helen. I hear you have a true-false quiz you want me to finish.
I do. Here we begin. We host a trivia game show podcast on the Max Fun Network called Go Fact Yourself.
True.
Correct. The show is all about celebrity guests answering trivia questions about things Jake Heath enjoys.
False. We sometimes don't talk about baseball or cats.
Thank God. It's questions about things they enjoy. Next, we bring on surprise experts every episode.
True.
Correct. Final question. It's just the two of us sitting alone with these guests.
False.
Correct. We have a live audience at the Angel City Brewery. See? You can hear Go Fact Yourself every first and third Friday of the month. And if you don't listen, you can go fact yourself.
True.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland, and I'm joined today by
Lindsay Kell.
And
Dan Sinker.
This week, we are ending the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This is the three count. Dan, here the guests go first. What would you like to put over?
So I realized the last time I was on this show, I put the same goddamn thing over, but I wanted to put over season two of Xavier Woods, Austin Creed, and Tyler Breeze's Battle of the Brands, which they just started season two, where they are playing the WWE 2006, I believe, PlayStation game. In season two, in season one, they played the roster was built in. Season two, they have actually built the current roster and are basically running through this sort of Elseworlds WWE where current folks cut little promos that they cut to. They just have them do them on their phones and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We are all locked away for a while. All of season one is worth watching, and there are like 60 episodes of that. And season two has been a joy as it unfolds.
Beautiful. Everybody, check it out. Lindsay.
I am subbing in for Danielle by choosing two things. One is the Bros Awaits Flip the Switch Challenge on Instagram. If you haven't seen that yet, I heartily recommend you pop over to Instagram. I think it was on Pete Dunne's page. I'm sure it's on both of them. But I'm not even going to spoil it for you. The Bros Awaits completed the Flip the Switch Challenge, and it is a thing of actual joy. So go check
Orange
that
Cassidy
out.
Orange Cassidy and Scorpio Skies, too, is really wonderful.
It's just so good. I mean, I love when wrestlers get involved with the internet. It makes me happy. The second thing is something for you to read. It's an interview with David Arquette on IndieWire.com about his movie, You Cannot Kill David Arquette. It was supposed to premiere at South By. Obviously, South By is canceled. So let's go support David and his documentary that's very much about his career after his WCW run and what happened with his acting career and how he carried on working in wrestling and what that meant and how it affected him, his struggles with addiction. Mm-hmm. It's a really fascinating article. I cannot wait to see the film.
Excellent. All right. I want to put over the PSA I've been sneaking in. I don't know if you caught some of the subliminal messaging I've been putting into this episode. But last week, Julian wanted this. He was asking for it. He put it out in the universe, and it has happened. If you want to help combat the spread of COVID-19, just listen to your old pal, Braun Strowman.
You know, as being a WWE superstar, traveling all around the world, I meet hundreds and hundreds of people a day. And now is more important than ever before to practice our hygiene. You know, my mantra is get these hands. Right now, I need everybody to wash these hands.
Maybe that's just going to be all Raw next week, is each wrestler just at home with FaceTiming, washing their hands.
For 20 seconds of their entrance music. That's when they're doing exactly. their entrances. It's like, keep rolling, rolling, and rolling, rolling.
Oh, they should create a Spotify podcast that's all 20-second clips.
Yeah.
That does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Hal Lublin, and our special guest, Dan Sinker. Thank you so much for joining us, Dan. What do you want to promote?
Always a pleasure.
It's this camera, this camera, this camera. Time's yours.
Join me talking about current events and politics and certainly about sheltering in place on my podcast Says Who that I do with the amazing and hilarious Maureen Johnson. You can find us at sayswhopodcast.com. And you can find me at my house on Twitter at Dan Sinker.
If it weren't for Dan, I feel like I would have gone crazy this year.
Yes.
I do want to say that. In fact, the last 2 years, Dan, thank you so much for everything that you do for humanity. Genuinely, you are a gift to us all.
Yeah, such a good...
Well, thank you.
You're a great human being.
Yes,
so
everyone
nice.
Should go and support all of Dan's
yes.
endeavors.
I love you and your whole family, who I've been fortunate enough to spend time with. And
good people.
And I appreciate you coming out and doing this.
I appreciate you all, and it has been a joy to spend an hour not thinking about everything else.
That's right.
Just thinking about wrestling.
Literally everything.
Can we make it
else.
Last forever?
Yes. Speaking of everything else, we've got a lot of fun stuff coming up on We Got This with Mark and Hal, my other Max Fun podcast, including this week, coming this coming week, this Tuesday night. We finally settle once and for all Beatles or Rolling Stones.
Oh, wow.
With special guest and somehow now timely, very, very timely celebrity Colin Hanks joining us for that one.
Excellent.
Whoa.
Colin, everybody's fine. Colin is a great guy. Happily, his parents are also doing well.
Could you not get Chet?
Could not. Don't know Chet. I only know Colin. If you want me to tell your friend to wash their hands, you can hire me on Cameo. I'll do a cameo, I'm telling you.
I feel like I would do a cameo for free if you just want me to tell someone to wash their hands. I'm going to reduce
absolutely.
My rate for hand washing.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're stuck at home, why not read a book?
Yeah.
Give a hoot. Buy a book.
Give a hoot. Buy a book. You can listen to Full Coverage. The
you can listen to Full Coverage.
World's Greatest Beauty
world's
Podcast.
World's Greatest Beauty Podcast. There's a professional on there as well as me. So it's not just my nonsense.
I'm only interested in you. I'm only interested in you. Sorry.
But yeah, we're all at home. Enjoying stuff. So also I do just want to shout out, like, I know a lot of my author friends and also people I know that have movies coming out and that kind of thing, like everyone is suffering. I know that it's most jobs, a lot of people in industries, but creative industries are really going to suffer through this.
Yep.
Book tours are being cancelled, movies are being pushed back, productions are being shut down. If you can support in any way by buying a book or by even ordering it from your library and having it sent to you, or you can, most libraries will give you ebooks now too. You can borrow ebooks.
You can use Canopy to watch films as
yes,
well.
Yes, you can watch movies by just downloading them. But yeah, please do keep trying to support people because people are going to struggle through this, all of us. And
yes.
If we lose the arts, we're not going to have anything to keep our spirits up. So let's all support each other. Leave podcast reviews, leave Amazon reviews. Do the things that you can do, and it will help everyone.
The advantage we have over 100 years ago during the Spanish flu epidemic is we have a means of being connected to each other all the time and doing all sorts of things remotely. And if you live with a partner, you've got board games, catch up on the books that you haven't been reading, catch up on television and movies, like you have everything at your fingertips. It will be okay. Yeah. We will get through this if we are all smart and safe.
I was reminded of this the other day. The 1918 Spanish influenza epidemic brought us Edward Cullen. So, worst case scenario, we'll find some well-meaning vampires. And
we can only hope.
100 years from now, we'll have Twilight Part 2. I mean...
is that a positive?
Look for a silver lining, people.
Keep looking.
We could get a new Robert Pattinson out of this. A second Robert Pattinson.
Our producer is lifelong XFL Wildcats fan, Julian Burrell. That season's over.
Last sporting event that I guess I'm going to go to for at least 3 months.
I feel like the XFL was doing far too well and the universe had to find a way.
You know,
I'm just saying.
I think that this all happened because of the XFL, because we heard before that what threw it off in the first place was because of just a bunch of things conspiring against
it. Yes, it was like circumstances outside of their control that killed that first match, right? When you watch that ESPN show, so many things came together to destroy their chances in the beginning. Yes. It's been going too well.
So
hence,
Vince, COVID. I had fun at the two games I went to, but maybe it's just not supposed to happen. And we just have to accept that.
You know what it is? They shouldn't be feeding the players those bats before the game. That was a bad idea. So dumb.
Yeah, it was like a ceremonial releasing of the bats in a pregame.
Oh, it's going to be great. We'll release a bunch of bats into the stadium. I love it.
It's not a game until the guano drops.
Yeah.
A 21 bat salute. Oh, yeah.
Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram. And hey, Discord, apparently.
That's the thing.
You can find links to all those in the show notes for this very episode and all episodes, unless he only put it in some episodes. Just stick with this one. You're already here. If you love what we do, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Thank you so much to the Max Fun members who make this show possible. Your chance to either join or upgrade your existing membership is literally beginning on Monday. That is true. It is beginning on Monday, your opportunity. Also, get a t-shirt from us. You can do that as well. We'll tell you all about the fun of Max Fun Drive next week.
You can enjoy that t-shirt.
Oh, it's going to be so great. You can wear it in so many ways. Around your face is a mask. On your body is a shirt. On your head is a bandana. Those are the 3 things. Anyway, we'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestlin'.
Ties and Bites Podcast. Ties and Bites.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.